Print Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 15th on the West Coast, now October the 16th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome anyone listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, whether that is live or on a rebroadcast, post-dated, archived broadcast of this show. Appreciate you showing interest in the show. We're going to have one humdinger of a show tonight, I can tell you. The weekend is upon us. No broadcasts on Saturday and Sunday, at least from the United States. Got a lot to say tonight. Before I even go into anything in that regard, I'm going to bring on tonight's guest. He is our resident science advisor, has been with me since the beginning of this show. I don't mean just tonight. I mean since this show began 3 years ago. And he has been faithful, true, educational. Reason why, he is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher. And he's not just my co-host. He hangs in when the jackbooted thugs play games with our stream or with our communications. And he's a professional through and through. Most of all, he's a truth teller, a brilliant man. My good friend, I'm very privileged to know him and to have him on this show on a regular basis. My good friend, Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. I'm going to have to change my hat size after that introduction there. You're making my head swell.
Well, at least you're not sitting on your hat like many others are. So, where do we begin? Well, I'm going to share something with you because I've been getting some information through the grapevine that with the most recent G20 meeting, the members of the G20, might have been contemplating bringing their electronic banking system online. This is a new system, which is to push forward their Antichrist, the Beast, New World Order reality, if you want to call it that. And I personally experienced some things personally this evening, which indicate to me somebody's playing some games. Money that I have in my bank account is my money, and whether the bank can tell me I can take money out or whether they can deny an electronic transfer, decline it, on the basis of a purchase I may be making, regardless of the size of the purchase, if I have sufficient funds to cover what's in my account, that purchase should go through. And that was not the case. And I find it kind of interesting because this occurred at Apple Computer. This occurred at the Apple Store. And Apple was without explanation other than to say there was nothing they could do. Now, what was interesting is we could work around the sum total of the purchase that I was making and in incremental amounts get smaller quantities approved up to a certain point. But I can guarantee you, Jim, and the listening audience, that there was more than sufficient funds to cover the purchase that I was making. And I'm doing this on a card anyway. And the purchases wouldn't go through. However, I was able to leave the store, walk to an ATM, make a withdrawal, and complete the business transaction. So what is going on? Why is it that certain businesses, and this didn't happen to me just once, by the way, it happened several times in the evening. You have to ask yourself, who has exerted some sort of authority over whether or not an individual can extract money from either a checking or a savings account or any kind of account where they have cash available? Well, we're dealing with an illusion. So they're playing games with the illusion. They're holding on the illusion. They're preventing me, and I'm sure others. In fact, Apple Computer was very gracious about the problem. They were very apologetic, and I said, seems to me it's the middleman. It's not my bank. It's not you. It's the company that's on the card, whose name is on the card. Whether it's Visa or MasterCard or, you know, that doesn't matter. They're playing games. They're preventing people from getting the money. So what is going on with our money? Why is it that we can't access our money at any given time? And they're excuse me, you know, my father passed away a year ago. None of these people are going to replace my father as far as telling me what I can and can't do with my money. And then again, my mother wouldn't tell me anyway. So these people who are acting as parents and limiting what we can take out of our bank accounts on any given day are merely giving themselves away, that there's something very corrupt going on. And I think we're entering a new phase. They may be trying to bring on their parallel banking system, their electronic system that was set up a couple of years ago and probably in operation secretly. This is the one that they use to funnel all of the stolen money, whether it's from public funds, mortgages, derivatives, hedge funds, all their Ponzi schemes and money that people are putting into the system, either through spending or through taxes or whatever. It smells very rotten. And I can tell you, tomorrow I'm going to have a field day with my bank, and I'm going to get to the bottom of what's going on. But people need to pay attention to what's happening with their own funds. We've alerted people to the fact that it's probably best to take your money out of the bank while you can. Now, I don't see a whole lot of difference in it not being worth anything in the bank or in your hands. At least you know that you have in your hands a whole bunch of worthless money. And if nothing else, they'd have to modify their games a little bit and their schemes. But who knows what they pretend on all the money that's not in it in a bank account, which is really what they've been doing. That's what a derivative is in a hedge fund. And a bailout. It's just giving them license to steal and telling us that we owe the money on it for their corruption. Give me a break. Jim, any comment? I'm going to be quiet here and let you vent.
Well, the thing that I've noticed about what you're talking about, and I've heard similar tales from other people. Thank God it hasn't happened to me yet, but you never know. If you remember the setup that that was suggested with regard to the manner in which they intend to use the chip that they're going to implant, and they're going to have everybody required to use. If you get this chip implanted when you go to a grocery store, when you make a withdrawal from the bank, no matter what you're doing, you'll pass your hand through a scanner, and the appropriate amount of money will either be added to your account or subtracted from your account, as the situation may be. But anyone who refuses to be a part of that new system will not be allowed to do anything that is expected in a normal financial transaction. So, like, if you want to purchase something, you'll be denied. If you want to buy food, if you want to buy gasoline, you'll be denied. And so, you know, it's an extortionary system that's anticipated to give complete control over an individual and his money. And I think that this is something where if the public really understood what's implied, they'd be up in arms, because money is nothing more, literally, than a quantification of your labor in another form. It's simply a certificate or a coin that specifies that you've done so much work, and it's yours, just like your work is yours.
Yeah.
And people don't start to get that idea and understand that you're being controlled through your own efforts. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, in essence, that
cannot be allowed.
Yeah, in essence, and I apologize for interrupting. I thought you were done. We have a little bit of a delay here, so I apologize for that. In essence, what you're saying, Jim, is that it's your bank account or the amount of money you have is testament to the extent that you're bound by slavery. What else can you call it when you're dealing with such a corrupt system? I began looking for lampposts on the way home. I began memorizing where I saw lampposts. Okay? You read between the lines there. Take George H.W. Bush's statement about lampposts. I began making a mental note of where they are. And I think we should all start doing that. Tell you the truth.
Well, that's only half the equation. We also need to identify copious supplies of hemp.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Well, I had to get that out there because it seems that something, you know, here we are on a weekend too, and you know, I told Apple I was going to mention this on my show tonight. And they went out of their way to be the company that they are as far as the product that they make, or I should say products that they make, because they're a good company. And they were miffed about what was happening. You see, I was able to show them a deposit slip, okay, that had a time and date stamp on it. And I said, there's no reason for this minuscule purchase not to go through. And I have to also say, it's not the first time I had that problem there. But it's alluding to something much, much bigger. And I've already got it figured out what it is. I know quite a bit about what's going on in the particular area that I was trying to do business. And so it reveals a lot, okay? And, you know, to be forewarned is to be armed, in a sense. You know, to be ignorant of what's going on, I think, just permits all this corruption to keep going on. But can you imagine being out of town someplace, being stranded? Maybe having a huge hotel bill, or trying to buy an airline ticket or some kind of transportation ticket to get you where you have to go, and to be stranded because these games are being played.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine it. I think that it's criminal.
It is. It absolutely is, you see. But there are ways to deal with this, you know, and it will be dealt with, and it'll be reported on this show. And I encourage anyone else that's had this problem to raise holy hell with anyone they can, with the businesses that they dealt with the bank that they deal with, or the banks that they deal with, and the local politicians and everybody. Just make their lives miserable. It's about time that we start reflecting back the crap that they try to feed us every day.
So here's the point, Don. If we don't do it now, when they're starting to home in on the very essence of life, which is our personal monies, you can't do anything without, you know, the money that you earn. Let's face it. That's how the world is rigged. The next step is that they're going to be taking the money away from you. You won't have control over your own money.
Well, they've already been doing that. It's not like something they just started. They've already been doing that for well over 100 years.
Well, that's true, but it's in the guise of things like Social Security and, you know, FICA and all these other things that they take out of your paycheck automatically. People have gotten used to that. But what I was alluding to is the next step will be that they'll put a clamp on your account itself, and you'll be allowed, you know, to do only certain things, or you'll be curtailed as to how much money you're allowed to take out. You know, they'll treat you the same way that they have set up the ATMs. You can only spend so much in one day. You know, we're using the rest of it. You don't like it, it's too bad. You know, that kind of thing. And if you don't react now, forget it. The show will be over.
Yeah. Well, I notified the parties concerned other than the bank that they were going to, you know, this message is going to go out, and it's going to go around the world, and it's going to go to other planets in the galaxy. Okay? And that there are a lot of ramifications connected to that, too. Trust me on that. And I'm not making threats, you know. I'm stating fact. there's a lot going on elsewhere. How am, you know, is this worth getting riled over? Well, you know, if I was someplace stranded, I would absolutely be furious. And that doesn't make the principle any less. Okay? I mean, we're talking about a principle here. You know, while I was talking about this issue, here I am trying to get money out of my own bank account, and we have a usurper in Washington who is complicit in the embezzlement of trillions of dollars and the mass murder of people around the planet. And he himself is using bogus Social Security numbers. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. The level of corruption, it doesn't end. It just doesn't end. And I mentioned this. I said, you know, you got a guy in Washington that has no business being in the position he is. He's not from this country. He's totally illegally or unlawfully, whether you want to talk about the constitutional republic or the corporation or the United States, he doesn't fit the mold for either one of those categories. And he's going around the world spending millions of dollars on vacations and golf expeditions, spending the people's money, and everybody's, oh, you know, I love him, he's doing great. What is he doing? He's bleeding this country, and the criminals with him are bleeding this country and betraying this country. Those, any of them that happen to have been born here, but most of them are not even from here. I mean, this is total insanity, what's going on. Talk about a two-sided coin. My goodness. Well, I don't want to keep ranting on that because we've got other important things to talk about too. But
I think that's a good beginning though, Don, because it leads right into the other things we were discussing in private. And you know, the expenditure of all these billions or millions for the personal use of some of these creeps is one thing. Not that I'm condoning it, but I mean, the real thing is that untold billions have been spent on technologies and other advancements which are only allowed to be used by those who are with the in crowd. The public isn't even allowed to know about it, and yet they paid for it. And I'm alluding to things like incredible medical procedures, cures for diseases, power technologies, and most of all, space technologies and interplanetary transportation systems, things of that sort. You know, these wars that are going on, which we talked about in the two previous shows, are not happening for no reason. This puny little planet with its corrupt governments is beginning to poke their big nose into places where it doesn't belong. And they're going to get it cut off. It can never happen soon enough to suit me.
Yes, and I'm assuming you weren't using metaphor when you used the word nose.
No, I wasn't, actually.
Okay, all right. It's amazing how we can play games with their language, huh?
Well, they're the masters when it comes to that. There's no question about that.
Absolutely. Well, another issue, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but there has been quite a bit of reporting about what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. The number of people who are becoming ill, and this is being compared to the chemical warfare that went on in World War I. What is going on there in the Gulf? I mean, we were lied to from the beginning, so there's no reason anyone's going to tell us the truth. But that doesn't condone, or that doesn't excuse us from not paying attention to what's going on, nor does it make us culpable in knowing what's been done and what is being done and what hasn't been done to remediate the situation. The only reason you're not hearing about it now is because there's an election coming up and they're trying to deflect people's attention away from it. But that does not change the reality for the people who are getting sick. They're measuring 731 parts per billion of arsenic in the water from the Gulf. I don't know what the normal amount of arsenic would be in the ocean, but I would tend to think that there wouldn't be any under natural circumstances. This is one thing.
Well, even if there was, I mean, every element on the planet is represented in the ocean. But the point is that because of the persistence of life and the way things have a tendency to balance out in the universe, the amounts are within tolerable limits. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any life there. It makes perfect sense. So if they're measuring 750 parts per million just on arsenic, God only knows what else is floating around. And as far as your reference to World War I, you know, at least in that instance, it was traceable to, like, phosphine gas and chlorine gas and, you know, and other chemical agents that were played around with, you know, various types of phosphors and things of that sort. But, you know, in that time period, the psychology was, well, we're at war and we can expect these things. But, you know, they've become so brazen that they're doing these things to us right out in the open. All they do is dress it up with a little bit of background props, whether it be an oil rig or a plane in the sky or any of the other things that they've managed to move into the realm of their use, and all of a sudden we're supposed to swallow it. You know, I mean, what are the people in the Gulf saying about all this? Certainly they realize it.
Yeah, they're saying the same thing I'm saying. I mean, those people don't have radio shows, okay? Those people aren't journalists, or the majority of them. In the beginning, we heard the stories about journalists being arrested, having their cameras taken away or the film ripped out of them. Of course, you can't rip the film out of a digital camera, but you can certainly remove the storage media. And then think of how many of those cases that we didn't hear anything about. But it seemed to be that anybody that was seriously looking at what was happening, and even just the regular people that live around those areas, whether it's New Orleans, all the way around the Florida coastline, everybody had stories of what was happening in the rain, water, that was leaving chemical deposits on their plants, on their cars, on their homes, or on them if they were caught out in the rain. One of the girls, and her first name, Kendra Arneson was her name. I featured her account on a couple of shows where she was on a boat. Her family comes from a long line of fishermen, and she went out on a boat and inspected a lot of what was going on. Everywhere she looked, she saw death and destruction. She was very angry, and she spoke publicly at a meeting where people banded together to talk about what they were going to do about this whole disaster. She's on a new YouTube video exposing a boil on her leg the size of a Kennedy half dollar. When's the last time you saw one of those? I mean the half dollar. But the boil, it was grotesque looking, and you could see that she had some incidental infection around it, 3 or 4 inches on each side of the boil. Her skin was red. Her veins looked inflamed. And this is just from being there. She's not going in the water. She's not swimming in it. This is just being exposed to that environment. This is so criminal that this is occurring, and it's happening to thousands and thousands of people who don't have a voice, who can't come out. And we wouldn't know about Kendra Arneson if she hadn't posted this on YouTube. But she's being lied to. She knows they're lying. She was exposing the lying that's going on. Talked about the dead whales and dolphins and all the dead fish and plants just floating in the water for miles. And the pollution that had reached the shorelines and the swamps and the inland waterways. You're not hearing a lick of this other than, oh yeah, the oil has stopped leaking. Why are they still putting Corexit into the water? And how many millions of gallons of that toxin did they put in there? This is absolute psychopathy. Absolute. These people are beyond. Well, they're not people. That's the first mistake I made there. These creatures have no souls. They have no morals. They have no conscience. And just, you know, if they did something good, I would talk about it, Jim, but they're not.
Well, any comment? Let's face it. How do you even begin to find any goodness in the entire incident? There's nothing of the sort there. And when you compound it with the realization that the whole thing was planned, it's so obvious that it was planned. I mean, they may really think they pulled the wool over everybody's eyes, but they didn't. You know, it's the old wag the dog situation. And it was done for the same thing as they always do these things for, power and money. You uncovered all of that when you dug into it and found out, you know, what was really going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know,
we did a whole bunch of shows on that issue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and those connections are still there. That's not gone away, you know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they're dumping the chemicals from World War I in the ocean, you know. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. Somebody knows the truth. That's the thing. What gets me is, you know, we've been lied to by the Coast Guard. We've been lied to by the administration. We've been lied to by Congress. The Justice Department is just twiddling their thumbs or sitting on them and spinning. They might as well be sitting on a barroom stool, spinning on their thumbs. And the media hasn't covered it. Everything they've published is a lie. Phony pictures, phony video, phony stories. You know, I remember they were talking about buying all these units that Kevin Costner's brother developed, which were going to filter the ocean water, like 120,000 gallons a day or something like that per machine, and they were going to buy 32 of these. Well, I think the next millennium would come by till they got around to filtering all that water, but they keep dumping Corexit in the Gulf. And that stuff starts mixing with the ecosystems, and it doesn't do what water does. It's in a place where it's not supposed to be. That doesn't seem to bother anybody. Oh, but if you let the oil out of your engine in your driveway, boy, they'd be breathing down your neck, wouldn't they? Slap the handcuffs on you and take you to jail for pollution, polluting your own driveway. I'm not saying people should do that. I'm just saying, you know, you're talking about billions of gallons of water being polluted, maybe even trillions of gallons of water. And it's no big deal because they're making money. Somebody's making money. It's disgusting. Now,
well, I'll tell you when it's going to become a big deal. The Gulf, the current that used to flow through the Gulf, you know, has everything to do with the global climate. The Gulf Stream, you know, the way it was designed, removes heat from one area of the world and transports it to another.
Mm-hmm.
And the swirl that used to come around, you know, from the South American region and then go in and around through the Gulf before it went back out and around Florida and up the coast, that has been interfered with as a result of this catastrophe, let's call it. And you know, some of the most brilliant people in the world who study this stuff have already forecast with new planetary weather models that because of the fact that the Gulf excursion of that current has essentially been stopped, and the current will not be going through the Gulf anymore. It's short-circuited to go up the coast. That will, in effect, prevent the accumulation and removal of a great deal of heat into that water, and that's going to start to affect the climates of the world. Now, already, There has been talk in Russia, for instance, and in Eastern Europe that they should expect the coldest winter in the last 150 years of this year, because there's no heat coming to that part of the world from this mechanism. You know, maybe we didn't dig deeply enough. If your original investigation showed that the Russians had been cut out from this system financially, or that they were trying to cut them out financially, maybe they were also trying to use this mechanism to create a condition that will put great hardship on Russia and Eastern Europe, you know, for other reasons that we don't know about. But at any rate, The possibility of another ice age resulting from this is apparently quite real. And there's a lot of people that have made that comment, and they've verified it with computer models, which are at least as accurate as the other models that everybody places so much faith in. So I just say that all the people that are nonchalant about this right now may have a very good reason in the near future to raise holy hell about what's been done. But, you know, that seems to be the nature of human beings. They tolerate all this nonsense until it reaches a saturation point, and then all of a sudden they notice it. But it's always too late. What the heck does it matter with being warned early and reacting immediately? I mean, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, you know, we keep running into this dichotomy of all this technology and all of this scientific knowledge that's supposed to exist, and yet we have total chaos. So you have to ask yourself, well, what's really going on? How can you call something any kind of order? I don't care if you call it old world order, new world order, new order, or just order. There is no order. You know, it's chaotic. And I don't mean to sound like I'm complaining. I'm just observing what I see. It's chaos. Why is it so hard for people to see that they're being lied to? They're being lied to about the economy, about the jobs, about what's really going on with home values or mortgages. People are illegally being kicked out of their houses. Why do they expect these people to start telling us the truth about it? Because they've been lying from day one. It's all a lie. It's all illusion. And to say
they're getting away with it too, so there is no incentive to tell the truth.
Well, yeah.
And that's where the hemp and the lampposts come into play.
Yeah. You see, their secrecy is a reflection of the fear level that they have. The amount of secrecy is proportionate to the amount of fear that they have. And the amount of smoke screens that they put out, thinking that we can't see through the smoke, or we don't see the smoke, and we can't see what's behind it, or see through it, or smell it, because it stinks to high heaven. I'd rather spend eternity on a pig farm than smell the crap that they're putting out through the media and through political channels. You know? I don't know about how you feel about that, but, you know, I mean, why is it so easy to ignore that? It's like we move from topic to topic day by day. Here's a news item. This is what's going on in the world. Oh, let's all worry about it now. They're going to do this to us. Meanwhile, all the other scams and schemes are going on in the background. And everybody starts focusing on their own personal fear, which is brought about by design, because they just say that this is happening, or they say they're going to do it. I think they need to be in fear that the people are going to rise up and smell the coffee. Finally, they're going to wake up and they're going to realize, wait a minute now. You know, you've been saying this, you've been telling us this. If you were the experts that you proclaim to be on all these different issues, especially when it comes to the world's problems. Wait a minute. Look at the problems in the world right now. What good is it going to do to put everything under the cloak or the umbrella of total domination and slavery? You know, a despotic or an autocratic society. What good is that going to accomplish? We have that now. They're just calling it by a different name. So the question
is,
the
only good that I can see coming out of that, to be honest with you, is that once it's actually out in the open, then people will realize the difference. Right now, they're all in dreamland, and they're quite happy to be there because they think that all this is just a lot of hogwash and nobody's really doing anything to be worried about. But, you know, when that day comes, if it does, it will be pretty obvious, because in order for them to accelerate their program to the extent that they have to in order to bring these changes about in the time frame that they desire them, they have been forced to abandon their caution. And what they used to do over a period of, let's say, a generation or more, they are now trying to do in a very short time period, like months or quarters. And once you start to do that, even the stupidest of people will begin to notice. So I think that if they are actually successful in taking things over, it'll become pretty obvious that we've all been had. And so I think that if they're stupid enough to accelerate their plans in this way, that they're also accelerating their own demise.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. I mean, you know, how can anyone have a conscience and allow millions of jobs every week or every month, whatever this real statistic is, and I can guarantee you it's not 9.6% unemployment. It was in the 30 percentile or higher a year ago. And more jobs are being lost. Companies are folding up. Big nationwide franchises in restaurants and in manufacturing and service industries. People are losing jobs left and right. I'm hearing it from everywhere, Jim. Around the world, this is going on. Maybe with the exception of China, because a lot of, you know, they're going where the labor's cheap. You remember in the 60s, the late 50s and early 1960s, it was Japan. All the jobs were there, and everybody was making jokes. And then for a while, it was the Philippines, and then that stopped. You know, everything, oh, this is made in the Philippines. This is junk. This is made in Japan. This is junk. Well, they did that to actually cloak or put up a smoke screen so we wouldn't see what was really going on. You know, there's a saying, if you think Japan lost the war, look in your driveway.
Yeah.
Look in your neighbor's driveways. Implying, look at the Japanese cars and trucks. Nothing against Japanese cars and trucks. They make better vehicles than they ever made here. In this country, because they were too busy pocketing all the money. Raising the price, and lowering the quality while they did it. And so they came out with a series of automobiles from foreign countries that people would want because they got tired of the car getting rust in the first or the second year. Or having to rebuild the engine or the transmission. And it wasn't just that, you know, you hear these things, 60 Minutes does a story on tires. They're selling us tires that are 12 years old, and they're actually dangerous to put on a vehicle after sitting around all that time. Somebody stockpiled all this stuff and held on to it until they could drive the price of the product up so they can increase their profit margin. That's all it's about. So these tires just were stockpiled in warehouses around the world for years and years and years until they figured, okay, now we can bring these out on the market. They look new, but what they don't tell you is that sitting on the shelves in these warehouses, that rubber degrades. The whole tire degrades. And then people were being killed with blowouts. And then they said, well, you know, there's a number on the tire that you can look at that shows you when that tire was made. And these tires should not be on the market. Well, who allows that? Who permits that? You see, it's always the same bureaucratic crooks behind it. Just do your job. Shut up and don't say anything about it. Look the other way. Pretend like you didn't see that. Or, this didn't happen. And if you say anything about it, we're going to get rid of you and your family and everybody else, you know. Always some kind of a criminal threat. Because you're dealing with organized crime here. You're not dealing with any legitimate government. And, you know, this is recognized. I don't mean to dwell on that, Jim, so much, other than to say, you know, that we could look at any particular topic. You could go into pharmaceuticals or the oil companies or education or religion, and you have the same corruption. And this is being watched by people from other parts of the galaxy who are concerned that this level of insanity and this level of chaos and this psychopathy can spill over into other parts of the universe. And it's a threat to their existence. And they don't take that lightly. They do not take it lightly. We're not even talking about chemtrails yet, are we? Or nuclear war.
And there's a lot of other stuff that we could be talking about, but it's the same story over and over again, as you already mentioned. I don't care what subject you pick. The filth has invaded everything. It's like a fungus. You know, it's everywhere. And unfortunately, you know, the good people who turn their heads to all of this simply because they want to concentrate on their own existence, you know, unfortunately, they are assisting this by being tolerant. Why do we have to be tolerant? Why do we have to put up with this garbage? There isn't any reason for it. You know, if you just do the numbers, and you don't even have to be brilliant at it, there's a heck of a lot more of us than there are of them. But somehow that doesn't count. I mean, people are just afraid to make waves.
Well, we've talked about this a million times. They've created an ignorant society, okay? And they've created so many different false realities that people don't know what's real anymore. And they can't cope with it. Now, that's not everybody. And, you know, many people have said it only takes 5% of the people on any issue, on any cause, to rise up with their voices and their actions to change the whole reality, to benefit the whole, not the few. And you know, this goes much deeper than character and conscience and morals, because you're dealing with beings that have taken over certain aspects of the control. It's been going on for thousands of years. We've talked about that. But, you know, we're starting to sound prophetic in our discussions, Jim, because we've been talking about this from the beginning of this show, when this show started. And the things that we've been revealing are becoming commonplace now in everyday discussions. Things that people said we were crazy for talking about now are being accepted. We've been telling the truth. And I do know that there are some people in the CIA and some people in the FBI and some people in the military that know what's going on and recognize when we're telling the truth. And we're telling our listeners things that they would like to tell because they can't, because they might lose their lives. But they have guns to protect themselves. You know? They have places they can escape to. They have people that have their backs to a certain extent. What am I? I'm a talk show host, a journalist, a musician, not much more than that. But I'm telling the truth. Why is the truth such a threat? If I'm off base, why do they feel so threatened? Or you or anyone else that tells the truth, why are they threatened by it?
Well, because if it became common knowledge what was really going on and people realized the magnitude of the situation and the fact that it's engineered, for God's sake, I think that there would be total uprising. After all, who the heck wants a life like this? You know, if the influence of these monsters was extracted from the whole picture, the planet would be transformed overnight.
Yes, we've said that. You know, it take 3 days. 3 days if everybody contacted the 10 people they know. In 3 days, the whole country would know this. Even the brainwashed people would know it, whether or not they can handle it and deal with it, you know.
Well, that's a separate issue, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the old days, word of mouth was very, very effective. There's no reason why that still can't be done. If the damn media doesn't work, then we should certainly resort to something else.
Well, yeah, isn't it based on an artificial reality? Aren't we dealing with a technically artificial reality?
Yeah, I mean, it can't be any more artificial. I mean, the whole thing is staged.
So, well, that brings us to another reality, and there have been reports happening around the planet. People are starting to see the things that we've been talking about. You know, we mentioned on a few shows over the past 3 weeks or so. Actually, I think this is the fourth week. We've been telling people if they have night vision goggles or night vision binoculars or UV lenses that they can put on photographic equipment, they can see what's going on in space. I got an very interesting email. I wish you could see this. For the listeners, I mentioned this to Jim before the show this evening. I've got some photographs of some rather large objects that were on the moon. And when I say rather large objects, they're being compared to the Eiffel Tower and the Queen Mary II in the same photograph. And the object is about a third larger, well, actually roughly two-fifths larger than the Eiffel Tower in its height. It's an oblong cigar-shaped craft that appears to be an ancient craft. How many thousands of years it goes back, I don't know, but it's certainly an artificial object. It was manufactured. There's no doubt about that. It dwarfs the proportionate image of the Eiffel Tower, I don't know, maybe by 20 times, not in its height, but in its size, its general size, and the area that it consumes. The Queen Mary, I don't know, it may be, well, if you stand the Queen Mary end to end, it's 21 meters longer than the Eiffel Tower is high. Let's put it that way. So you're dealing with two objects that are about the same size. It dwarfs both of those objects many times. And there are a couple of other photos. Now, I would have to presume that some of the other, one or two of the photos is representing this object that I'm describing. And there's another one that's got some marks that go across it that definitely are not something related to sitting on a satellite to a planet. So it shows that someone was on the moon a long time ago. One of the pictures is a NASA photo, black and white. Probably at least two of the four pictures are NASA. And the other two are very clear. They actually have color. And they're not masked like the pictures of Mars. They're not airbrushed like the pictures on Mars. Or for that matter, the moon. They're having a picnic on the moon right now, Jim. And they've been having a picnic up there for quite a long time, regardless of what we've been told.
Well, I've been hearing about moon anomalies, my God, since the 60s. One of the first people that ever told me about that actually was Dominic Lucchesi. And he and Gray Barker and some of those other guys were some of the first people to really take a serious interest in this whole UFO thing. And they pointed out in some of the early writings that there's plenty of pictures that were taken through telescopes viewed at the moon or aimed at the moon, which actually showed up unexpected activities, both in the atmosphere around the moon, and there is an atmosphere, by the way, and also on its surface. So this is nothing new, but I'll tell you what's interesting is the fact that here you've got pictures which are labeled with NASA on it. I mean, how much more proof do you need if they're all liars? And I suppose the next thing they'll be saying is, well, somebody else put the NASA emblem on there, you know, that's a frame-up, you know, it's an assault on NASA.
Yeah. Well, what is very interesting is there's a sort of an overhead view, not directly overhead, but somewhat of an angle, maybe 45 degrees out. And I don't know how high up this is. I don't really have a way to reference. I'm speaking about the long shot of this object, which is resting in a crater. The one end of it is pointing out and it extends over the edge of the crater. Okay, so if you can picture this craft, it's not lying flat on the surface, but it's like it crashed, and either the crater is a part of what caused this to crash, or it crashed and landed in a crater. I tend to think the crater probably was created at the time this thing crashed. It didn't destroy the vehicle, but it certainly made it that it couldn't fly anymore. And I use that word for lack of a better one. It was non-operational, we'll say. But then I have a close-up of the craft, and it's surrounded by black space in the photograph. Everything outside of this craft is black, which leads one to believe that it was possibly photographed at night. And or when that side of the moon, I don't even know what side of the moon it's on. But when it was photographed with a high intensity light that lit up the object and didn't light up anything else around it. Then there's an image of it in color and it's put onto a matte background for the purposes of measuring it, and it appears that someone was able to get near it and make the object look as if it's on a level surface, rather than being in this tilted angle like it is in the crater. And this is the photograph that's showing the measurements, and it shows some detail on this thing. I mean, if you didn't know better, you would say this thing looks like a Bic pen that has that little metal tab that you can hang the pen inside your pocket, you know, and it holds onto the top of your pocket, like a shirt pocket, for example. It resembles that in a way, but it starts in the middle of the object and moves towards the right end of it. It could be some sort of a docking device, or it could be the communication systems of it. It's almost like you're looking at a submarine that can fly through space. That's sort of the shape of the thing, usually referred to as cigar-shaped. But it's got, it has its own craters on it, or holes in it, as if it had been shot out of space and crashed.
Well, the other thing is, too, if it's as ancient as you say, I mean, it's been laying up there in an abandoned condition for all these years, it's very realistic to assume that space debris, which hits the moon all the time, would have damaged it if nothing else had happened. You know, I mean, meteorites come in whistling in there, and all kinds of things are always hitting the moon because it doesn't have an Earth-type atmosphere to burn those things up. So I think that's testament to its age. That sounds really interesting. I'd love to see these pictures. By the way, you should post them on your site.
I will, yeah. I just got them a few minutes before showtime, so I haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. But I will. I definitely will. And I've been posting some other photographs that I got. Some of the hieroglyphics, the tablatures, have some rather detailed representations of spacecraft there and aliens. Gray, the individuals we know as gray aliens, are depicted in some of the artwork.
I'm sorry, I must have missed something. Which artwork are you referring to?
Well, you know, hieroglyphics and the tablatures that you find in the ancient monuments and burial sites that are unearthed in archaeological expeditions.
Yeah, I mean, is that what you're referring to? Something from Egypt or something from...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is Egyptian in nature. But rather than just words, there are pictures. This is pictographic representations of what was there. And actually, this craft sitting on the moon looks very much like something I posted from these Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Well, I'm familiar with those hieroglyphs. As a matter of fact, I had a friend, I still have them, but I mean, I haven't been in touch with him lately, but I have a friend who used to put on laser shows for the Egyptian government around the pyramids and the Sphinx for various occasions when they wanted to have huge masses of people there and entertain them. And he became quite friendly with some of the native individuals who are involved with some of these digs. And of course, they're just, you know, operating in the capacity of peons. But nonetheless, somebody does the labor. And they entrusted him with the fact that there are many representations in undisclosed tombs that they have personally seen that show advanced technologies in ancient times. And I have seen pictures of one wall on which there are depicted an airplane, a helicopter, a flying saucer, and something which resembles a robot. And the artwork of Egypt is pretty sophisticated. It's not like you have to really study it to understand what's being depicted.
Mm-hmm.
And so for these objects to be, you know, drawn with that type, and painted, for that matter, with that type of clarity, certainly signifies that somebody knew or saw something of that sort. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. Pretty hard to paint something you never saw.
Yeah, well, when you have a chance to go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and click on photos, flying saucers, and other aircraft, I added two of these representations that Michael Anthony sent me a few days ago. And I'll be darned if this isn't... There's one craft here that looks like this thing that's up on the moon, I'm telling you. It's shaped very... Go ahead.
It's not that much of a surprise to me, because I think that these things have been around for a very long time. And don't forget, the thing that's on the moon may have something to do with the exodus from Atlantis. It may have something to do with the ancient commerce that exists between Earth and Mars.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the ancient literature, it tells you very concisely that there was a time on Earth when commerce existed between planets. And Atlantis was the end of that era, when Atlantis was destroyed. So, I mean, of course, it necessitates a little bit of open-mindedness, but the fact of the matter is that things like this have been reported forever. And there's more evidence to support these things than people realize. I mean, the Arabic word for Cairo, which I don't remember what the word is, but the Arabic word for Cairo translates to Mars. You know, all these things are indications that the history that we're taught is not the true history. It's not even touched upon.
That's true. And you know, we were taught these stories in school that they had slaves that toted all of these gigantic granite blocks to the site where they built the pyramids. And, you know, they depicted this in movies, people being crushed beneath the logs that they used as wheels to roll these things. And they had hundreds or thousands of slaves pulling these things uphill as they assembled this, never mentioning how they set them in place, never mentioning the adhesive that is uniformly applied throughout, and science cannot replicate today. And of course, they didn't talk much about what was underneath the pyramids and the large cavities. Wouldn't it have been possible to take those stones, dig them out of the ground, and build a structure and leave the holes underneath, which became the various chambers that certainly serve a much higher purpose than a tomb for a few pharaohs and his relatives? Don't hear much about that these days.
Well, actually, you don't hear much about any of it. The amazing thing is that so-called Egyptologists adhere to the ridiculous story that all that work on those types of stones granite and diorite and some of the toughest material God ever made was all done with copper chisels. Well, I mean, that would be a feat in itself, because the plant that would be necessary to manufacture an endless stream of copper chisels would be a very prodigious undertaking in its own right, considering the fact that copper is about 10 times more less sturdy material than the stone that they supposedly cut it with. It's an absurdity. And not only that, but if you stop and consider the accuracy of each of these blocks, you know, the average size of which is like 2.5 tons, it's within thousands. I mean, if you had copper chisels in ample supply, and you had enough people with the talent to actually do that type of masonry work, it would take forever to cut a stone to that type of accuracy. And that's a conundrum in its own right, because how many, there are literally tens of thousands of stones cut to very, very accurate proportions in all of those ancient monuments. And it's not just the tombs. I mean, it's not just the pyramids. It's the tombs. It's the temples. It's all kinds of places where this type of craftsmanship and great antiquity are suggested simultaneously. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there's something wrong with that picture.
Well, you know, it's funny that we're talking about this, because there was a news item. I was visiting a friend this evening at his place of business, and he had a television set, you know, a flat screen monitor on for his customers, and they were watching the local news. And there was a man who had gone to visit his nephew's grave. He took some flowers there, and, you know, he was going to say a prayer. And when he got there, the gravestone was gone, and there was nothing but a big hole in the ground. And he peered into the hole, and he could see an adjoining tomb that was left exposed. So he called the media, and they went there with their cameras and dutifully took their pictures. And then they caught a couple of big, rather large groundhogs. I would say they were the size of Dalmatians. Okay, they were big. Galloping across the field through this cemetery. And they found hundreds of these tunnels that were dug there. And of course, all these graves and the tombstones are collapsing into the ground. They're sinking into the ground, or totally not seen at all in the film that they took. And the city says, well, as soon as they fill these holes up, the groundhogs dig more holes. They're at a loss as to how to stop this from happening. Well, you're dealing with an animal. I guess groundhogs are rodents. So you're dealing with rodents that tunnel. And they seem to have the capacity to outsmart all this technology. The cutting of these heavy stones, they're able to move the ground beneath these stones with all that weight bearing upon it and causing the whole thing to collapse. They just can't seem to grasp that. Yet we have these lies that were told about these ancient monuments in Egypt. It's every bit as much a the same as the lie that was told on tonight's news.
The only interesting thing that comes out of that story, and by the way, I'd love to know where this happened, but anyway, the only interesting thing that really surfaces there is that the groundhogs are obviously smarter than the city officials.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. And, you know, they got engineers that work for the city. They seem to be, well, as you know, we have to wait till the rain stops, you know, and then we have to fill those holes up with dirt. That's basically what they're saying. That was in Cleveland, Ohio. Actually, Shaker Heights, the hometown of Paul Newman, the birthplace of Paul Newman, the east side of Cleveland.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's also interesting. If there truly are groundhogs the size of Dalmatians, that should make news in its own right. You know, there's some interesting evolution going on there or something. And why are they tunneling around in a cemetery of all places?
Well, it's probably a good place to hide because there aren't, you know, there's not that much traffic there, save when there's a service or something, you know, a funeral. You know, it's one of these cemetery mausoleums and a crematorium all in one. And when I looked, I mean, these are large holes, too. Some of them are three, 4 feet wide.
Well, I mean, that's an amazing thing in its own right, because you got, this is where the remains of people's beloved ones are being placed. And you'd think that people would have some kind of reaction to the fact that these tombs and these graves are being essentially violated by rodents. You know, large rodents, apparently.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's nature's engineering is the point I'm making there, you know. They're digging the tunnels after the fact, or were they always there? Were there always groundhogs in the ground where they decided to bury all these people? You know, certainly the... What I'm saying is the catacombs and the chambers that are underneath those monuments in Egypt are very symmetrical, very planned out, and they line up to astrological and astronomical events and bodies, and seem to have their own language, their own cycles that repeatedly align with other celestial bodies. Speaking of, about the pyramids now, not about the cemetery and the groundhogs.
No, I got the difference. Well, it's interesting you should mention that, because I was just reading here not too long ago about some of the latest work that's been done over there, and the Giza Plateau is amazing in its complexity, and the tunneling and the chambers that are existing beneath it are staggering, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, things were suppressed. I mean, every time they think they got Egypt figured out, you know, something comes along that just blows their theories out of the water. You know, I told you about that film that I watched, where the head of the antiquities department in Egypt, I think it was either Fox News or CNN News, and they actually opened up this chamber beneath the Sphinx and went down into this ungodly catacomb. They set up all these lights and stuff and displayed the place, and there were these huge sarcophagi that were located on islands surrounded by moats. And in each corner of these little islands were miniature obelisks. And, I mean, it was an amazing thing to see. I was so blown away by it that I couldn't wait. I figured there'd be a follow-up. I figured there'd be lots of information coming. The show was a special, and it was at least an hour long. It may have been an hour and a half. And the next day, when you know, when business opened up, I was on the phone immediately trying to order a copy of that film. And nobody knew what I was talking about. And I phoned CNN or whoever it was that aired the program. I phoned all over the place trying to find out more information about it. And that was, gosh, I think it was back in the 80s that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And only recently, I would say like within the last couple of months,
yes,
did I actually find information about it appearing on the internet. And the film is still not available, by the way. But the information about that particular chamber and what was in it is at least reported on the internet, and it comes under the heading of the opening of the Tomb of Osiris. Now, I don't know why they would call it the Tomb of Osiris unless they know something that you know, leads them to that conclusion. But there were several sarcophagi there. It wasn't just one or two.
Well, systematically. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so if Osiris was involved, so were some of the other characters from that pre-dynastetic period, because, you know, that's an amazing thing. I mean, I'll never forget the vision of it.
Yeah, they've been systematically removing objects from there at night. Caravans of trucks have been filmed and described. There's a video or two on the internet. There's a guy that's been filming this from a distance, showing that they're robbing these artifacts, we'll say. I was going to say graves, but they're not just graves. There's a lot of important stuff down there that they've been taking for a number of years. And all they do is not report it, not talk about it, but they got caught. That's why it's been coming out, I think, recently.
Well, the other thing that's really amazing, and it can't be a coincidence at this point, is that Edgar Cayce predicted that there is another chamber down there, and it might well be there now, considering all that they've found so far and not told us about. And that chamber supposedly contains a library, actually engraved with some sort of hieroglyphs or whatever, some language, on gold plates that reports the true history of mankind on this planet. Hmm. Now, it's referred to in his writings as the Hall of Records. Now, what could be more vital than that information? On the one hand, it would certainly liberate mankind from an enormous burden of BS if it could only be published and made available. But on the other hand, it's the very information of that sort in the hands of the people who now have it that prevents the truth from being vented. It's the same kind of attitude that we see in every other activity that they control. It's amazing.
Yes. They use that knowledge to oppress us further. It gives them more ammunition to devise new schemes to keep people in the dark. But despite that, we're talking about it, aren't we? We haven't seen what they've taken from there, but we can imagine. And they have this obsession with Egypt. Jim, we're about out of time. You probably didn't get to hear this. I want to play a clip. You know, they were identifying the individual who I affectionately referred to as the short-legged Mac Daddy, as the reincarnation of King Tut. But I'm going to give the credit to someone else. This actually came out about 20... 35 years ago, roughly around that time. So if you bear with me, I know that you have a little bit of difficulty hearing this on the phone, but hopefully it'll come through clearly enough that you can hear what's being said. And I'm going to reveal the true incarnation of King Tut.
I'd like to talk seriously just for a moment. One of the great art exhibits ever to tour the United States is the Treasures of Tutankhamun, or King Tut. But I think it's a national disgrace the way we have commercialized it with trinkets and toys, T-shirts and posters. And about 3 months ago, I was up in the woods and I wrote a song. I tried to use the ancient modalities and melodies. I would like to do it for you right now. Maybe we can all learn something from this.
Crocodile. He gave his life for tourism. Golden idol. He's an Egyptian.
And that was the original King Tut from Saturday Night Live, Steve Martin.
Yeah, I remember that, actually. I remember it well.
I thought you might enjoy that as a little bit of levity after the serious discussion we had tonight.
Yes, well, I'm glad you played it. It brought back a lot of interesting memories.
It's almost prophetic what he said, too, in this song. He was being funny, but, man, he's bordering on prophecy there. And the sax solo was played by Lou Marini Jr., by the way, another Ohio musician. And when I was a young lad, I actually studied music arranging and orchestration with his father.
So, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. He went on to play with Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and he was part of the Blues Brothers band in the Blues Brothers movie.
Yeah, I really like that, Blues Brothers band.
And he came out of a sarcophagus to play that solo, by the way. That's why the crowd was laughing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, it's funny video. But, Any parting words here, Jim, before we say goodnight and wish each other a good weekend?
Oh, to be honest with you, Don, my head is a little numb. I can't think of anything really crafty to say. But I really hope that the things that we do say on this show are starting to make an impact, and I think that people owe it to themselves, if nothing else, to really dig into this stuff and realize that not only is it all true, but it's having an enormous effect on our world, on our lives, and it will have an even larger effect on the lives of our children. So it's something that should be regarded very, very seriously. And that's
yes.
about it.
Yes, I agree. I had a conversation with a young lady who's attending a college, and she was doing her homework. And I asked her what subject she was writing or studying. She was answering questions and taking notes out of her textbook. And she said, the history of math. And I said, the history of math. They haven't completely figured math out, but now they're teaching the history of it. And I said, I'm curious. Do you find the history to be true? Because we've been lied to about history in general. The history of war, the history of the planet, the history of politics and politicians. I said, what makes you think that they would tell you the truth about math in a historical sense? She said, that's a good question. I'm sort of asking myself this as I'm going through, you know, my homework assignment. And I said, well, let me know when you find out that answer. I'd be interested in sharing it with my listening audience on my radio show. I guess they have music history. Why not math history?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's an area that we could actually do a whole show on right there. And what I don't know about it, George would certainly know, because he majored in math and physics and wanted to be a mathematician at one point, so he's well acquainted with the history of it. But I'll tell you what, even the history that people are acquainted with is certainly incomplete, because
yes.
the very things we've been talking about demonstrate that mathematical abilities beyond our comprehension were being used regularly a long, long time ago on this planet. So we're right back where we started from.
Yes, yes, which was the intent of my comment to the young lady. Anyway, interesting show, Jim, for me. I hope it was for our listening audience. In the meantime, I want to wish you a good night and a great weekend and remind everybody you'll be back with us again next Friday. So you take care, keep your powder dry, and keep looking up, because there's a lot of stuff going on in that direction.
Right you are, my friend. Thank you.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, scientist inventor Jim Murray. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network over at bbsradio.com. Want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me next Monday when my special guest will be Dr. A. Truott. In the meantime, have a great weekend, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.